This is the EIR podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs in residence with your host, Henrik de Geer.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is John Fraser. We live in Maryland, having moved here from Florida to be close to our children. We've both retired from full-time salaried positions, so I'm consulting. So my wife told me she married me for better or worse, but not for lunch. I consult for the World Bank in Serbia, in Eastern Europe, for the United Nations Agency, WIPO in Southeast Asia, and directly for a tech transfer hub in Chile, South America, as well as mentoring tech transfer offices around the world, including one in the United States. I was elected president of Autumn, our Society of Technology Transfer Professionals, in 2006. My career has been involved in moving clever inventions to solve a problem, discovering university labs, into the hands of companies who will then attempt to turn the invention into commercial products that might end up saving lives, improving the quality of life, or increasing competitiveness or productivity of companies. This activity is known as academic technology transfer or knowledge exchange or simply commercialization. I have either headed or created four offices of technology transfer at universities, two in Canada, two in the US. Two of them were for-profit companies, two were not-for-profit offices in university. I've personally been a co-founder of three companies, sold one, buried two, and been a midwife to another 50 spin-offs through these commercialization offices. I was vice president of a venture capital fund in Toronto and an awards officer of the Canadian equivalent to the National Science Foundation. I have a master's in biochemistry from UC Berkeley.
John, how are you involved as an entrepreneur in residence?
I'm the entrepreneur in residence at NIST. That is the National Institute for Standards and Technology, a major federal lab in Gaithersburg, Maryland, about 20 miles northwest of Washington, D.C. Actually, what I do, the position could be called mentor in residence, as I personally am not looking for another opportunity to spin out a company as the founding CEO. Rather, I provide advice to the NIST research employees about what it is like to work with the private sector and what I think is needed to create a startup company based on your own research. For NIST, I also organize a series of workshops with outside technology entrepreneurs coming onto the campus to talk about their personal experiences and lessons learned. As well, I do lunch with researchers to talk about their ideas for a startup and network them with the right people outside to help them think the idea through and possibly to implement it.
John, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen as an entrepreneur in residence?
One of the biggest challenges is generating interest. I'm one of three entrepreneurs and residents invited in place the last couple of years. And it's not a well understood position inside the research organization. However, being an internal appointment makes it easier for the researchers to come and talk to me because they see me as an insider, not an outsider with another agenda. So generating interest is one of the big challenges. The successes. Well, it's still early days, but I'm seeing small successes when I realize that people I've been talking to have followed up with an outside contact that I've suggested.
John, what advice would you like to share with other EIRs?
Well, I think it's very important to be patient and to be persistent. I think one of the lessons I've learned early on was you listen more than you talk in the early days to gain an understanding of who the person is and what they're really interested in doing. I then found it very useful to try and identify the value proposition of the business opportunity fairly early on in the conversation as a focal point, rather than delve deeper into the technology. Then I ask what sort of applications the business opportunity might lead to. So I think it's really establishing a rapport with the individual, trying to understand what they're trying to do in the short and long term, and help them move along that pathway by providing my experience over the years as being an entrepreneur and a startup person, as well as used to dealing with researchers.
John, where can we learn more about Entrepreneurs in Residence and your work as an EIR?
I think one of the lessons is that satisfaction is very slow in coming. Where you can learn about Entrepreneurs in Residence, I think it's a matter of there being organizations or loose networks of people. When I was in Florida, we created with legislative support a mechanism for the commercialization of public research. One of the big networks that we created was a group of people who would be willing to serve as mentors or entrepreneurs in residence, possibly even CEOs or advisors to faculty who are interested in spinning their own technology out of the university and attempting to do a startup. That organization also had legislative money, which we, the board members, invested in the startup and took back an equity position. So where else you can learn? I think the National Science Foundation, a traditional funder of basic research across the country, the NIH as well, have created programs called iCorp, like iPhone, iCorp. These have permanent offices, I guess you would call them, in several universities around the country. The one in Washington is at George Washington University, where they have a number of outreach activities for entrepreneurs and for federal laboratory researchers. And again, making contact with groups like this, as well as angel groups locally, will put you in place as to what Entrepreneurs in Residence are all about, because we're part of the commercialization pipeline to get bright ideas into the hands of companies to turn into products that will improve our lives.
For more about this, visit EIRpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.